Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. Today, I'll be talking to Adrian Ma, who is a coach and natural bodybuilder. Adrian's been lifting for over 10 years, been a coach since 2018, and specializes in human anatomy and biomechanics. So we all know consistency is key to accomplishing those fitness goals. So today, Adrian's going to give you some tips on how to stay consistent so you can really crush those goals. But before we begin, please make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And let's go ahead and get started. So Adrian, thanks for hopping my show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, Paul. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Of course, I'm really excited to talk about consistency. That's a really challenging topic for a lot of people, but let's go ahead and dive right into it. So when it comes to exercise and nutrition, why is consistency so hard for a lot of people?
Yeah, that's a really great question to start off with. There's many, many aspects to this. So we're going to just dive to the main origin of it. You know, I've worked with many, many athletes as well as general population men. And a lot of them seem to struggle with, keeping themselves in the gym or maybe, right. Keeping the same diet plan is because they don't really have a plan. Mm-hmm. And they're just going in and they're just really just doing whatever they feel like. And then they just get a gym buddy and they just go, hey, you know what? What do you want to do today?
Yeah.
They'll just do, chest, legs, whatever. Yeah. We've all been through that, right?
Very common.
You've done that. I've done that, honestly.
Yeah.
And then a couple of weeks down the road, we just kind of fall off. It's just like, man, I'm just too sore from DOMS and we just don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
So I think first of all, I think the first thing, the tip I would probably, give somebody is probably, I think finding a program that you enjoy is first the number one key to building adherence or building consistency, just going to the gym. I think a really good way to start is besides that is just showing up at the gym every day. Just go in there. I don't care if you're, doing bicep curls. I don't care if you're doing sort of machines or if you're in the treadmill like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Get yourself in there, get out.
Yeah.
Build that habit of just walking into the gym or just going, getting your shoe on, changing, getting out of the house, going after work, just find one time.
Right.
Go there. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, get out.
Yep.
Start to build that. I think that starting to build that habit is definitely something that I would definitely highly recommend for somebody who's beginning. And then once you have that habit, then we can talk about finding a very suitable program and then really, digging deep on actually how to really maximize your gains further forward. Now, nutrition is also another aspect. Nutrition is going to be a little bit more complex. It does require a lot more dedication. And it's very, very different, honestly, from how you would probably eat and how would you probably reflect to, what your fitness goals are going to be. That's going to be the main part. You can't really enjoy every single thing that you're going to eat. If you're enjoying every single thing that you're going to be eating, then, we're not really getting anywhere. You're just pretty much staying the same way. I think you've also spoke with a lot of your clients. What is a good recommendation that you use with your clients?
When it comes to nutrition, one thing I try to emphasize is that, like you said, I think that it's really important to have a routine or build those healthy habits. And so, you hit the nail on the head when you talk to a lot of people, they don't have a plan. They kind of do whatever. And when you just do whatever, it's really easy to get off track because things will frequently come up. And if you don't have a plan to handle those things that come up, you're just going to completely go off track. And so something I emphasize is to build those healthy habits with my clients and to have a plan. And that's where, here's a plug for trainers. A trainer comes in, it could help you develop that plan, right? But I want to go back to something you said. You've worked with a lot of athletes and you've also done bodybuilding competitions. You're a bodybuilder. Yes. But do you ever have those days where even you don't feel motivated or feel like working out or following a nutrition plan? Then if you do, how do you handle those? What sort of strategy do you use to kind of get through those times?
For bodybuilding, it's a very tough sport. I don't even know if I should call it a sport, but it's very mentally challenging thing once you're closer to show day. Body fat is low. You're cold all the time. You look shredded. You look great in the mirror, but mentally, physically, you're tired. You're not, you don't feel all that great. So we definitely have those. And it's actually a lot more common than you actually think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for guys, once lower body day comes, you just like, I don't want to do it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to do it, man. It's upper day, like, yeah. Okay, I'll try to get it. Because your joints are right. A little bit more weaker. You don't have enough fluids in your body. You just want to kind of stay at home and lie down. So what we do is you just have to. And once you leave the house, honestly, once you leave the house, so timing is also a really good thing where you eat. Like, so I will just eat my meals. It's only that 30-minute mark that you kind of feel full. And then once you're full, you get out. Yeah. Or I just bring my lunchbox if I'm at work. Then I just, you know, I have my lunchbox with me. After my shift or the first half of the shift, I eat. And right after I eat, you work out. So the hardest thing is actually just getting warmed up once, you know, we're deep in prep. So the hardest thing is really just warming up in the wintertime.
Right.
And once your body is warm, it's so much easier once you're in the flow. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know in this, the hardest part is the first set. Your first exercise, your first set is always the hardest. Once you hustle through that first working set, it's good. It's good. I would also recommend a good shot of caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily pre-workout. I'm actually okay with. It really depends on the person. There are pre-workouts that are higher dosages. For me, I already have caffeine. Like my coffee intake is off the roof throughout the day. Yeah. So I didn't want to like intake that pre-workout anymore. So I just have my own little coffee and then I just go ahead and work out. A lot of water that will help with, you know, just staying awake. And there, you know, you get cravings. You know, I get cravings after post-workout. So what a really good way is actually just make yourself feel satiated all the time. Mm-hmm. So post-workout, I usually have my shake. I would just have a protein shake, just water, and then just down it. I usually go a little bit more water than recommended. So because I have to work after my workout, so that big chunk of jar of water would just fill my stomach and I'll just feel full. But technically I'm not. And then I will have no time to eat until my shift is over. And then I just go home and to eat then. And then once I eat, I don't know about you, but I can't eat with a hungry stomach. Carbohydrates is going to be my main thing to put me to sleep. So I usually save a big portion of my carbohydrates at nighttime. And then once I hit that, I quickly shower and then you just go to bed. That way it'll help me fall asleep. And then at least we take care of the sleep part out of the, you know, the hunger and all the stress that you're going to go through during prepping.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point you brought up about how you structure your diet and your meal plan. So you have, again, we come back to having a plan, right? So you have a pretty well thought out plan. And even if someone wasn't interested in becoming a bodybuilder, they can still take those same principles that you just described about how you structure your day, your workouts, your plan, your planning, and incorporate that into their own workouts. Even if they didn't want to become a bodybuilder, right? There's a reason why bodybuilders are so successful at manipulating their aesthetic, right? Because they have a really well thought out plan. But one thing I wanted to come back to is your nutrition. So you mentioned that you have those cravings as well. So do you ever have sort of like cheat days or you take a day off, or how does that factor into your diet? Do you follow like a really rigid meal plan, or do you have some sort of flexible diet approach that you take to allow
you
to?
That's a really good question. I get this question a lot. So it doesn't work for everybody, but I go with the a flexible diet. It's actually not that flexible. So there's two things. There's flexible diet and if it fits your macros. I'm not going to go deep with that, but the one I'm using is if it fits your macros. Mm-hmm. That's the diet I go with. So technically, I can actually eat whatever I want. I can even have pizza as long as it fits my macros.
Right.
Now, the macro proxy is very limited. So once we are doing the sport, or even if you just want to make really, really good gains, it doesn't mean that you can go and so you said like I can have this entire pizza and it doesn't exceed my calories. Yes, that is true. The downfall is the profile of the macronutrients. So this is where we study, or we really look closely, you know, are these macros actually worth it to cover this portion of the entire calorie intake?
Right.
So during these times, you probably have to just weigh out what is good and what is not good. And you'll learn so much more about food once you actually start tracking these foods. Now, for a lot of gym population, this is a lot of work. Tracking food is a skill, just like how you would work out. It's a skill. It's you got to take time to learn it.
Yep.
And then the second part of it is I usually go with hand portions. If I go out to eat, I will usually pick foods which are I believe to be easier to track. So foods like sushi, where they're easier and they're relatively cleaner than like fried chicken or things like that. Foods like that, like Chinese food, that's a very difficult food to track. Pizza is even easier to track than, than Chinese food.
So
I would probably like circle around with these foods. I'll just stay around the foods that I usually intake on a more daily basis because our bodies will respond better to the same foods every single day more than introducing foods that you're foreign all of a sudden for a week. So that's why I don't really do cheat days. I just spread out everything, a little bit of food every single day. Therefore, it does suppress cravings a lot better. Cravings do climb up once body fat and body fluids are a little bit more lower, so which we're closer to show day. But otherwise, times like these, we're actually okay with it.
Yeah, that's another great point about how what sort of approach you take. Because I think it's a very replicable approach that a lot of people can take is that flexible dieting or that I do the same thing if it fits my macros. I follow that same approach because I found that I want that flexibility and I no longer want that rigidity in my diet. And that's something that everyone can do. But I like what you said about the skill, right? That's something that it's not something you can just wake up one day and like, all right, I'm going to crush this. My macros because I'm amazing, but it took some time for you to develop that skill set and kind of figure out how to weigh your food properly, what foods work well for you, what foods don't work well for you. But when you first started out in your fitness journey, what are some struggles that you had with your nutrition and trying to follow a nutrition plan or tracking your nutrition?
So for me, I am a skinnier dude and I've always had a hard time eating. Eating was my main thing. I wanted to look big. I wanted to look like you. I wanted arms just like you, Paul. And I was never born with it. So it really frustrated me that it was hard for me to put on a couple more pounds so I can fit my clothes better. It still haunts me today, even though I'm a natural bodybuilder. Because you'll just never look like, C-bum.
Yeah, right.
You just never look like that, right? You can't.
Right.
You can't do it naturally.
Right.
It's no secret, honestly. So all I wanted was I just relied on working out. I thought working out and training every day, lifting every day would actually help me do that. That was kind of like the backseat of driving me every day every day after work, I was in Hong Kong. I worked for 9 to 10 hours every day. And then I'm tired, I'm fried. It was a desk job. Yeah. Then I went to the gym.
Yeah.
So I just lifted. That was the time where, the bro splits came in, where I just did whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I kept up with the workouts, but then I didn't pay attention to nutrition. Mm-hmm. So my bigger struggles were eating and I didn't have anybody to teach me that I needed to be in a caloric surplus in order to make gains.
Right.
Until, I hired somebody and told me to eat. But being at the personal trainer that I worked with in the beginning, they didn't really have that knowledge of nutritional intake and counting, you should be eating this amount of calories. This is how you do it. Or at least show me some guidelines. Okay, this is the portion, hand portions. You should eat this much rice or this much rice.
Right.
I didn't have those tools back then. All you did is just just eat more. It's like, what does eat more mean?
I think you brought up another great point about how I think people get really focused on the exercising, but not so much the nutrition. And you and I know, and I think a lot of people know this intuitively, that nutrition is extremely important for whatever goal you want to accomplish. So how did you kind of go from, I got the exercise portion down, so I need to also focus on nutrition. Was that something your trainer just helped you out with? Or did you start to learn about that on your own?
That was something that just came very later into my lifting career.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say career. Sorry, I'll find that. So it's not lifting career. It's bro splitting, lifting. I lost all my newbie gains to just bro splitting. And it didn't really get me anywhere because I wasn't really that consistent. I didn't want to compete until 2017. That was my first competition, 2017. So I actually started lifting way before that. And I actually had a structured program and eating program not until 2016. So I learned about nutrition here and there through during before my competition. But I was surrounded by a community with very traditional bodybuilders, which were on here. So they had to take care of their bodies. So all they ate was the things we knew. Chicken, broccoli, rice. So I was surrounded with that. You know, beef wasn't even in the equation back then. So I kind of grew into thinking that, oh, that's what it took to eat. So I tried it. You know, I tried it. I got leaner. That's true. I got leaner, but I didn't make any gains because I wasn't eating enough. Mm-hmm. I actually required a lot more calorie dense foods in order to make me gain. So that didn't come until 2016, where I hired another coach that actually started, hey man, you gotta just eat more if you wanna compete. He just gave me the same recipe. So we're eating the same recipe. The only difference was the carbohydrates.
Right.
From white rice to yam or like potatoes? Yeah, or just like potatoes or like that kind of thing. That was the only substitute I had. So veggies were either broccoli, spinach, whatever veggies I could get my hands on. And remember, this was back in Asia and I was leaving my family.
Okay.
So
the
cultural part of it was another story. And then, so I had to eat that for almost like 9 months. And then cutting for me when I was like coming to post show, that was easy. Yeah.
Right.
So cutting for me was easy then. You know, foods were really, really, really clean. And then it was 2018 that, you know, it became a lot clearer, you know, and where actually my trainer calculated my macros for me. Okay, so this is what your BMR is, you know, including exercise and this, you know, you have to eat this much. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay. Then he said, okay, I'm going to give you a meal plan. I'm going to give you a diet plan. This is what you're going to eat every day. It's still the same. Honestly, it's still the same shit.
Yeah.
But then he started to, you know, coach me and saying like, okay, I'm going to take one meal out and you're going to try and learn about food and try to find another way to replace those meals.
Okay.
With the same amount of calorie. Like so that. Just step by step. And then it just became, I think it was down the road. And then I started to become more aware of what tracking foods with, you know, with my Fitness Pal. And then that took, actually, it just took me almost 2-3 weeks to learn how to use my Fitness Pal and tracking food and weighing it properly. And then until now.
Yeah. So you went through like, that was a great picture of your journey as you growth and discovery, right? So it was a combination of you learned on your own, but you also had a trainer to help you out and to walk you through what needed to be done. I think that's really one of the really great things about having a trainer in your corner, the right trainer will guide you where you need to go. And it sounds like you went through a couple of trainers and you settled, you found one that actually clicked with you. And I think that's another good takeaway for all the guys listening out there today is that you don't have to stick with your trainer forever, right? You can find different trainers. Different trainers are going to have different specialties. I don't specialize in coaching bodybuilders, but Adrian might be a better fit for you, right? So I think it's okay to find different trainers that fit for you and what you want to accomplish. But I also want to jump to those gains, like you mentioned, because I think it's, you know, it's approaching summertime. A lot of guys out there want those gains and want that six pack. So let's talk about that and some strategies around how guys can get gains. So if someone's, let's say someone's been working out for a little while, but they're not really seeing those results. So what are some easy tips or strategies they can implement to start getting those gains? I know it's a very complicated question, but I'm going to try to get you to boil that down to some really good key points.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's there's a long study and I'm not going to get into that, but for a lot of people who are trying to make gains, number one, I think a lot of people that's lifting, even though you are with a coach, we're significantly under training. I'm not asking to, you know, lift the heaviest load that you could possibly manage because that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That's just your ego doing your work for you. But what we're truly trying to is actually understanding what you're actually doing. So me saying under training, it probably comes from apply load and the stimulus of the muscle. So, you know, put it in like more simple terms, we really want to stimulate, let's say that bicep curl with intention. I would say that with intention. So you are lifting with a load that you can manage with perfect form, a controlled environment, and enough sets.
Right.
And reps. So four things. You want to apply these four things for, you know, to maximize your gains in the gym. you might be, it might be boring because you're spending a lot more longer time in with, you know, one set compared to, you know, just pumping it out and just getting that big pump. Chasing a pump, yes, that is something that will definitely benefit for your gain. But also what I will also say is working with full range of motion is going to be the most essential thing to maximize your gains. So if you don't understand what full range of motion is, you can come to us. You can ask Paul or ask myself, you know, what your muscles, where is your full range of motion of your muscles are. Mm-hmm. Now, make sure these full range of motions are safely executed. Yeah. That is also one thing, you know, the execution, the exercise will reflect on what type of gains you actually make. So if end ranges of range of motion is not applicable, if it's not, you know, doable, I would, you know, lighten the load and make sure you actually get. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a more of a slower process than you think. So if you think that, you know, like dumbbells and things like that, I would say dumbbells and barbells may or may not be your first choice if you have difficulty, you know, reaching full range of motion or even just executing the exercise itself. Let's say a shoulder press, you know, if something, somebody with a round shoulder is going to be a little bit more, you know, it'll be more challenging for them to do like an overhead press. I would definitely go, recommend, you know, machines. You know, you're in a safer environment. You can control it and you can apply the load without being afraid that it's going to land on you or you're going to dislocate your shoulder.
I completely agree. And I'm glad you brought that up because I think, especially men, us guys, we get caught ego lifting, right? We want to lift heavy but I like how you emphasize range of motion and safety, right? Those are really key things that I think everybody could learn and apply. But how do you, I'm sure you've maybe had clients that just want to go out there and just tear it up in the gym and you're like, no, okay, we're going to start here and then work our way up. So how do you help someone kind of understand that they need to start maybe with the machines or start with the lighter weight before they go crazy and kill themselves in the gym?
That's a really good question. So I have clients that I've worked with. He said like, hey man, I've lifted for like at least 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then I was like, okay, great. That's awesome. You know, let me see. So in deep down as the coach, we have expectations. If you've been lifting for 5 years, you should be able to do these movements properly.
Right.
So I was like, okay, go ahead, take a look at it. And then he goes ahead and all he does is, you know, like half a second of a concentric and an eccentric. So if you don't know what that means, it's just like going down and up for a squat. Yeah. That's just the speed of it. So I was like, okay, all right. The execution is fine, honestly. The, you know, how his execution is great. Let's take it down a notch. All right. Mm-hmm. So what I'm asking is, putting him time under tension. So what that seriously means is we want to slower the time where he's kind of like descending down and when he's actually coming up. So mm-hmm. let's say for a bicep curl, you want to stretch all the way out and then come all the way in. So mm-hmm. just stimulating that muscle in a longer period of time versus a shorter one.
Yeah.
So that would be my first go-to. You know, just slowing down because that's going to expose a lot of instability within the body.
Right.
And then you will actually get a quicker pump with lower reps.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my first go-to. Yeah. And then once you're used to that, you will know if you need to go up or go low in load. Mm-hmm. And then everything will just fall into place from there.
Yeah.
And from there, I think there's one more thing I would just like to add is...
Yeah,
once you put yourself a longer time under tension, then we can actually start talking about what I've actually begun with is if you're under training. Because I find out a lot of guys are not very good with endurance. We're good in power, like boom, like that. We're very good at that.
Yeah,
we're not very good in lasting that 4 to 5 seconds all the way down and coming back up and then making 12 to 15 reps of that.
Yeah.
We're not very good at that. So that is a skill that will probably take you to practice.
Yeah.
And that's when you can yell and grunt and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think I like that approach about with that specific client, how you had him slow things down a bit. And then I'm sure you probably ramp things back up later on, but you had him slow things down. And I think that's something that any of the listeners listening today can also apply in their own training, right? If they slow things down, maybe take like record themselves doing a bicep curl and they could watch it later, but just slow things down and then build back up from there. Cause I guess I see a lot of people ego lifting in the gym or doing these herky jerky movements, and you know, this is not great. And it's also probably not healthy too. Probably has a higher risk for injury too, right? If you just go all out with improper form, and then of course your muscles aren't even really being properly utilized. But I think that's like dead on. I love that approach you take with your clients. I think that's the right approach that a lot of trainers should be taking. So hats off to you, sir, for that.
Thank you.
I do also want to touch on nutrition really quickly when it comes to getting those gains. That's also a really key factor. So for you, and you mentioned this before, where you're a skinnier guy and you have to eat more to get those gains. But for other people, for someone who wants, for looking for fat loss, especially with the summer coming up, what should they be eating in terms of nutrition to get that fat loss and still have some sort of muscle mass?
Okay. Yeah. That's, I would say there's a lot more information out there, based on this. So I'm just going to like brief it up, but a lot of the, clients that I work with, the first thing I do is I would maintain what their protein intake. So a lot of people may or may not know this. If you don't know this, here's something for you. So usually we will calculate nutrition, you know, based on 0.8 of per gram of your body weight. By pounds. So if you weigh like 150 pounds, I can't do math, even though Asian. So you will like probably multiply 0.8. So that's the minimum requirement of how many grams of protein you'll be intaking per day. I would probably maintain that amount. And then furthermore, I would recommend drinking more water. Okay, drinking more water definitely helps. I would definitely recommend, you know, really just cleaning up the foods. Okay. So you're going to be little bit more picky with some of the foods that you're going to be intaking. I would recommend homemade meals, just not like not very palatable ones. The more palatable ones are going to, you know, trigger a lot more different cravings. So things that, you know, it doesn't have to be chicken, broccoli, and rice, but along those lines, I would say something a little bit more cleaner to really clean up the body a little bit. Drinking more water is going to be, and then I would also say, you know, just moving a little bit more. Okay. I know even though you have a desk job, just moving a little bit more, maybe spend 15 minutes like eating lunch and then the rest of the 15 minutes just moving around, just walking around, and then maybe take a longer route. If you go to work, if you live close enough to work, you know, try to walk instead of, you know, the weather's getting better. The weather's getting better. So you could definitely walk home. If it takes you an hour, great. Okay, take 2 hours of day walking. Man, that's going to be your good cardio right there, right?
That is very good cardio, yeah.
That's very good cardio. I would take it any day. So I would just probably stand up every 15 minutes, you know, just move. Do something else besides working out. Working out is only one thing out of your entire life.
Right.
Yeah, and final thing, please just sleep more. One of the bigger things. I would say from a lifestyle standpoint, you know, just sleeping around, you know, midnight or before that would be really good. Anything later than that, it's going to be really taxing internally. And then that's just going to affect how your appetite's going to be the next day. And of course, lots of fruits and vegetables. I would really recommend at least one or two servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Vegetables every meal, honestly, I shouldn't have said that, but like at least one or two servings of fruits within the day. That would probably keep you a little bit more satiated. My go-to fruit is strawberries. Is my life when I'm prepping. You can have 300 grams of strawberries and they're probably be like, I don't know, like 150 calories, something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe less. Yeah. But then you would be filled for a good 3 hours.
Right.
Yeah. So that is my go-to. It's got a ton of fiber. Make sure you drink lots of water after that, and or else you're going to be constipated. It's something you want to avoid.
Feeding that much strawberries.
So those are probably my go-tos in terms of nutrition.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's like really good starter package for nutrition. And one thing I wanted to talk to you about, you mentioned a lot of information out there, but one source of information is your podcast, right? So can you tell us a little more about your podcast that you have and what they are and who they're for?
All right. Yeah. So my podcast is called Lifting Nerds. I co-host it with another natural bodybuilder. We really talk about the research is actually saying about not only natural bodybuilding, but what is the most up-to-date science research on building muscle, losing fat, what are the biochemistry stuff of that. So these are usually for us trainers, of course. We target trainers as well as general. We do talk about general population information for them as well. There's a couple of episodes where we dig really deep into some mental issues as well, like the body dysmorphia. We talk about that.
Yeah.
We talk about mainly, you know, what is a good lift? You know, like a couple of years ago, the single arm pull down was something like that became big.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for bodybuilders. And then, so we kind of dissect a little bit about the anatomy of it, you know, what the purpose of it, and, you know, if it's efficient or not. We talk mainly a lot of these. It's pretty much open for a lot of different audiences, but mainly for people who've been lifting for quite a bit.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. And then you also, you're a trainer too. So you have training programs available for people to, they're interested.
Yes, yes. So I am a natural bodybuilder. I do prep athletes that are 100% drug free. That's my specialties. If you are female or male, and if you're thinking of stepping on the stage for the first time, I truly welcome you attempt it. We will take the most healthiest and the most, you know, best approach for you if you want to step on stage and try it out. We've got my podcast. If you guys want to go and listen to it, please go Lifting Nerds. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And also we are on YouTube as well. So if you guys would, you know, please check it out. It would be greatly appreciated. You can actually find me on Instagram. I'm mainly there. If anything, just, you know, just DM me.
Yeah. I'll put your, for everyone listening, I'll put Adrian's contact information in the podcast notes. So definitely give him a reach out to him. I was really pleased that you come on the show. Cause you have a lot of knowledge and definitely want to get that knowledge in front of my audience. So, but one final question for you. So, do you have any shows coming up or planning on doing any shows in the future?
I just did a show last year, end of October. So okay. That was WMBF Calgary.
Oh, I think I followed that. Your journey through that on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, I think I'm.
Yeah. So I just did that. I placed fourth in that category of men's physique. It's a very competitive class. So I talked to the judges and say like, man, you know, all I need is just more mass, muscle mass. So the same thing that I've been struggling with through my entire lifting career.
Yeah.
So. Probably no, not this year. I will be planned probably 2025, where I have a little bit more time off to, you know, put some gains on.
Yeah. Yeah. My last one was 2 years ago and I don't have the urge to ever do one again, but we'll see. Maybe things will change. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nothing's changed yet, but yeah, Adrian, we'll definitely follow your journey. And, you know, if you step on stage in 2025, definitely be following that and excited to see you, what you've done so far. Definitely an inspiration for a lot of people. So again, Adrian, thank you for coming on the show. It was really good talking to you. And I know the audience got a lot of good stuff out of you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
So that wraps up today's episode. And thank you very much for listening. Make sure to check out Adrian on the social media links, which I'll provide in the podcast notes. Fan of the show, please remember to subscribe. And until next episode, take care of yourselves. And remember, the best project you ever work on is you.